So it's been kind of a weird week for me. I guess that's just the way it is when a longtime colleague retires, especially when it's someone you've been close to. One of the things that happens is that more work shifts your direction. There's no way around it, and that's been true this week. I've been more immersed in pastoral care responsibilities than I would usually be, partly because it's one of those weeks when a lot has happened, including a death in our congregation. But also because dealing more fully with that area of responsibility just puts more on my plate than is usually there. So that's one thing. A missing colleague means more work. But the other thing is this. It's been kind of weird at a personal level as well, because in your daily work environment, you get used to having other people around who know you well, people you have a history with, and then that changes too. Karen made a comment last week in worship about being thankful for colleagues who read each other's minds and know each other's hearts. And that was true for us. Another way of saying that is that we can be thankful when we are on the inside of each other's lives. Part of that being on the inside of each other's lives is having inside jokes, knowing each other's eccentricities. It's being known and yet accepted. And already this week, I'm realizing that I'm missing some of that too. The knowing and even the teasing about those kinds of insider things. Here's one thing that Karen liked to tease me about from time to time. It is this. I have great affection for Debbie Boone's song, You Light Up My Life. Do you know this song? It's kind of a schmaltzy song from the late 1970s. It was a pop hit at the time for 10 weeks, I think. Held the number one spot on the pop music charts in 1977, but it's not a great song. In fact, a Rolling Stone survey from a number of years ago ranked it as the fourth worst song of the entire decade of the 1970s. I know that song because my junior high choir sang it a few years after it was a pop hit. And in that choir, we all liked it, I think, because it was different from the kind of choral music that we usually sang. Was written originally as a love song, but Debbie Boone always sang it as a song about her devotion to God, which of course is why my junior high choir director thought it was appropriate for our Christian school choir. Anyway, it's stuck in my head. And not only that, but because it is maybe one of only a very few good memories I have from that time in my life, I have great affection for the song. I don't care that by all other measures it is not that great. Anyway, the reason Karen found out I knew and loved this sugary, schmaltzy song is because we attended a wedding together quite a few years back, early on in our time of working together, and the couple who was getting married each chose a song to sing to each other. And the one person chose to sing You Light Up My Life, and as he sang it, I started humming along. "You know this song?" she whispered to me, with a look of surprise on her face, or was it horror? "Of course," I said, "I know this song and I love this song." She could barely contain her glee, and many times after that, she would tease me about it. "You light up my life, you give me hope to carry on, you light up my days and fill my nights with song. What's not to love?" It's not the greatest song, I'll admit it. It's more than a little cheesy. But there's one thing I will still argue is worthwhile in a song like that, a reason to like You Light Up My Life, and it is this. At the center of it is this powerfully comforting, encouraging, healing image of light. The power of light. The power of light to give hope. To lift us up. You light up my life, and the light that you bring to my life gives me hope. It gives me hope to carry on, even when all around me is darkness. We all want to be bathed in the healing and hope-generating power of light. This time of year, we all want the sun to come out. We want sunlight, sunshine, to reach down and warm our upturned faces, to chase away the chill, to dispel the darkness of life, quite literally. Just an afternoon of clear, bright light does wonders for us, doesn't it? When I was in Southern California for my steering committee meetings for the Supportive Communities Network, just a week and a half ago, we took our lunches out into the courtyard of the Laverne Church of the Brethren. it was sunny. The warmth of the sun felt good to me. Some of the others who were there got out their sunscreen and put on their ball caps. I chose neither, happy to squint into the bright light. But it was not only the actual sunlight that warmed me those noon times, it was the light and warmth of the company I was keeping, people with questions and ideas and compassion and vision. There was that light, too. Not that I was going to break out into the song, "You Light Up My Life," to my friends around the table, but I could have. "You are the light of the world," says Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount. Most translations translate it exactly that way. You are the light of the world. But Eugene Peterson's The Message paraphrase offers it this way. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. That's truly a paraphrase, not a translation, but I find it interesting. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. I kind of like that paraphrase because I think it does capture something of the spirit of what it means to be the light of the world. It's not just that we are a light, something bright, but we are a light with some purpose. A light to chase the darkness, a light to counteract the darkness, a light to dispel the shadows, a light to make things clear and obvious, especially to bring a light of truth in the midst of lies. A light to encourage, to inspire, to heal, a light to bring out the colors of compassion and hope. You are the light of the world. In other words, the world is lacking in light and needs you to shine with the truth and testimony of God, needs you to shine with comfort, compassion, and hope, needs you to shine brightly and consistently enough that there's not just a difference between dark and light, but there is the possibility of all the colors of creation shining forth. Later on in Sunday school today, we're going to hear a presentation about a festival of sorts, an invitation to our congregation to think about hosting, helping to carry forward, to create and carry forward an event aimed at not only our town, but our region. Not only our own members, but others who might like to have a place and an opportunity to engage and connect with our values, with our identity as a community that is interested and committed to things like service and justice and peace and relationship and creation care and spiritual formation and intergenerational learning and inclusion and hospitality, all of that expressed through music and speakers and eating together and learning together and playing together in this amazing facility we have and on this amazing property that we have. Chris Good and Seth Hendricks will share their dream with you, and they'll talk about that dream, and you will likely ask questions about the details, because you know how to ask questions. Is this something we can pull off? Is the timing right? Do they have the resources and experience and know-how and connections to actually make something like this happen? What would it look like? Who would come? How much work will be involved for us? How many volunteers would be needed to make it happen? How would it impact our building, our property? Lots of questions, lots of details, lots of information. And when you hear what they have to say, you might say to yourself, I have a hard time picturing this. Or, do these guys actually have the resources and vision to lead us in doing something like this? Or, I don't know if there's enough time to pull something like this together in the time frame they're talking about. Or how would I personally connect with something like this? How could I be involved? Or what kind of music are they talking about? What kind of speakers? What kind of workshops? What kind of activities? What kind of food? Or what would the neighbors think? What would the town expect or require? You'll probably have all kinds of questions and thoughts, some of them kind of vague and still being formed, some questions very specific. But let me say this. Ask all the questions you want. But I hope you won't say, we can't do something big and bold and bright. I hope you won't say that. That we can't or we shouldn't do something big and bold and bright. Because the truth is, we, the church, do not exist in order to sit on our hands. We do not exist in order to keep our light, to keep God's light, to keep the light of Christ to ourselves. We do not exist in order to be small and hesitant and careful. We do not exist in order to only replicate the past and keep the patterns of what the church has been and what we've always done. We do not exist in order to be afraid of what feels risky or to be guided by our worries about how others who may or may not approve of us will look upon us. We do not exist to be scared or small. We do not exist to live in the shadows. We do not exist to ride on into the sunset. We exist, we the church, we exist to shine a light of hope and healing into the world. We exist to figure out what matters most from the essence of who we are as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Christ, and then to translate that into something that is inspiring and welcoming and relevant for the world in which we live. We do not exist to sit on our hands. We exist to be the light of the world, to be big and bold and bright. Because you know what? The world needs the very things that matter to us. The world needs a witness of beauty and inclusion, of cooperation and compassion, of hope and healing, of intergenerational relationships and interaction, of service, of good use and good stewardship of the gifts we have been given. Please ask all the questions you want. Push them on the details, check their experience and expertise, question the timing if you want, the ambition, the connections, but do not doubt that we, the church, we need to be thinking about opportunities. Indeed, reaching out and embracing opportunities to do things that are big and bold and bright. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under a bushel basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. You do not exist to sit on your hands, to cover yourself with a basket, but to shine a light to all in the house. You Christian, you church, you exist to shine a light that is big and bold and bright. Sometimes this scripture text, this part of the Sermon on the Mount, has been understood as a text about evangelism. I think it is just as much a text about testimony. That is, you don't have to convert people. You don't have to convince people that the light you shine is the light of hope, the light of healing, the light of Christ. You just have to shine the light. You have to testify that the God of compassion and grace and hope and healing and inclusion and hospitality and forgiveness and transformation is in the world, is in us. And that you know that it's your job to shine that light, to share that light. The light is from God. The light that heals and transforms is from God. You reflect that light. You shine that light, not scared and small, but big and bold and bright. You shine that light, and when you do that, you testify that God is in the world. That in our hope, in our compassion, in our forgiveness and kindness, in our commitment to justice, in our love of the earth, in our love of neighbor and of the enemy, in our service, in our commitment to beauty, in our inclusion and hospitality, in our discipleship and sharing and sacrifice and courage, that God is in the world, that God is shining brightly in the world. Amen.